Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw, the second night of the big WWE draft at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. You know what? I'm going to take a call right away. Caller, what do you think about last night's Monday Night Raw and the big second night of the draft?
Oh, my God! They killed
wrestling!
You bastard!
Yeah, I sort of agree with you. Folks. If there could have possibly been, if you hired writers, professional writers, to say, how do we make the WWE draft look inane, ridiculous, illogical, and satirical? They could not have done a better job. This draft looked about as realistic as a children's kindergarten play. I mean, it is off the charts ridiculous. But let's just start with the fact that they say in the very beginning now, Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton are having their issues again. And Drew McIntyre says, seeing you as you may go to SmackDown, yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen. All night long, they tried to tease in case something happens when you know it's not going to happen. You already know it's not going to happen. Absolutely ridiculous. And of course, you already knew about, I would say, two-thirds of this draft. You already knew. Street Profits, oh, amazing. They're going to SmackDown. Because, of course, the WWE would have all of their tag team belts on one show. Because that would make sense. The Raw and SmackDown champions are now on Raw. Would that make sense? What would you call the belts? What would you call the belts that are held by Woods and Kingston? What would they be called? Would they be called the SmackDown championships that's being defended only on Raw? Does that make sense to you? So, of course, the Street Profits are drafted to SmackDown. Why were the champions in it to begin with? This is what happens when the champions are in it. You already know. Well, I draft the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. Okay, well then we already know that the Raw Tag Team Champions are going to be drafted next. On the next show, of course. And then to add insult to injury, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode come out and say, well, we never got a shot at our titles and we deserve, so we're going to take them off of the New Day. And then before they even get to do their match, they're drafted to SmackDown. So now you know they're not winning. See, this is the thing. This is the laziness and the absolute uncaring that is going to ultimately destroy the WWE in the eyes of many fans. Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler are basically one of the main events, right? We're going to challenge the New Day for the Raw Tag Team titles. New Day just got to Raw, exchanged the titles with Street Profits. It's up and we're going to challenge them. And before you even allow them to have their match, you pick them in the draft to go to SmackDown. So now we know, quite obviously, they're not winning, because then you'd have both tag teams of championships on SmackDown. This is how inane and lazy the writing actually became last night and really Friday. Excuse me. But that's not even the tip of the iceberg, really. It's not even the tip of the iceberg. It's bad enough, I can tell you that. It's bad enough, but it's still just the tip of the iceberg of what we saw last night. We saw Titus O'Neil picked ahead of Aleister Black. Let that sink in for a minute. We saw Titus O'Neil. When's the last time you saw Titus O'Neil on Raw? When's the last time Titus O'Neil got into a wrestling ring on Raw? I'll wait. The answer is you can't remember. And he's picked ahead of Aleister Black, who, by the way, loses his third straight match to Kevin Owens. In a good match, but what the hell is the difference whether it's a good match? But the very first pick by Raw. Now, I want you to think about this very carefully. You're Raw, and you already have Asuka. You could have Bayley. You could have both of the women's championships in your pocket. And you pick the Fiend. You don't pick a champion. You pick the Fiend. You could have a championship. You could have Sami Zayn, who Sami Zayn got picked, what, fourth round, and he's the Intercontinental Champion? Come on. You want to talk about a slap in the face to the Intercontinental Championship and everybody who's held it before him? Holy mackerel. So you pick the Fiend. You don't pick a champion. Because that makes so much sense. So you're already off to a horrible start, Raw. You're off to a horrible, horrible start. We picked the Fiend. And I say, and guess who else is going to get picked? Alexa Bliss. She'll get picked. She's going with them. They're not separating those two. So we already know now Alexa Bliss is going to be there too. But the real kicker is, people were floating around, well, I think maybe KO is going to join the Wyatt family, which I was totally against. I think that maybe Aleister Black is going to join the Wyatt family, which I was totally against. But at least it would give him a family. And then they draft both of those guys to SmackDown where the Fiend isn't. So that's not happening. We are then subjected to everybody who's leaving is getting their ass kicked. Because it doesn't matter, right? You're leaving. You're not going to be on this program anymore, so you're going out on the losing end. With one exception. And that's because both guys ended up there, and that was Jeff Hardy losing to AJ Styles. The whole night was, the only way I can describe it is this. It was juvenile. It was illogical. It was at times satirical. Some of the matches were actually pretty good. The three-way match was very good. It was good to see Seth Rollins fight anybody whose last name isn't Mysterio. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's so ridiculously illogical that the draft actually just makes you laugh out loud. Now, you may not know, because, of course, they announced it on Raw Talk or whatever, but there were a few other acquisitions. And a few people conspicuous by their absence, so I'm going to give them to you. Lana was picked to stay on Raw. Natalya, however, going to SmackDown. Gee, isn't that amazing? They have their feud, but they're not going to have a feud because they're going to be on separate programs. Riddick Moss on Raw. The Riot Squad on SmackDown. And Arturo Ruas is on Raw. Andretti wasn't even picked. He wasn't even picked. Can you imagine? Zelina Vega also going to SmackDown. I don't know, folks. I don't know what to tell you. I cannot enjoy a train wreck. And that's exactly what this was. Forget about the matches being decent. Some of the matches were better than decent. It doesn't matter. Because when the whole thing, you can't watch a movie and say everything these characters do are illogical. The story jumps all over the place. I can't follow what they're saying, but gee, the cinematography is nice. Nobody does that. So I'm sorry to tell you, I could not enjoy Raw last night. Because right down to the final moment, nothing makes sense. Lana throws Natty out of the battle royal at the end to be the number one contender. So we are supposed to be excited that Lana is fighting Asuka. So I say to myself, well, that's not going to happen. They're going to have a Lana-Natty battle, which will be logical because Natty's a trainer and she's been training Lana and she'd be the one to be able to carry her through a match and make her look better and everything. And then they trade him away. They trade him away. So what was that main event about? The hell was that about? As I've already said, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode challenged for the Raw tag team titles, and they are picked to go to SmackDown before they have their match. So you already know they're not winning. You know Seth Rollins isn't winning on his way out the door. So what do we got here? And Aleister Black loses once again to Kevin Owens. And we have Ricochet now all alone on Raw, but they want him separated from the Hurt Business, so he does this ridiculous match where he says, if I win, you got to leave me alone. Well, that's not the way it works. Hurt Business don't make the matches. The Hurt Business aren't the matchmakers. You got to go to the bookers and say, why am I always booked to fight people from the Hurt Business? I mean, God almighty. I mean, it's just terrible. And then Zelina Vega's on commentary, and I know I'm taking this totally out of order, but I can't help it because the show's totally out of order. It's ridiculous. Zelina Vega's on commentary during Angel Garza's return match against Andrade, which lasted about 3 minutes. A total squash match, basically, by Angel Garza, which is fine with me normally, because I think Angel Garza's potential is huge. But, oh, my God, did you bury Andrade? And then you don't even pick him in the draft, and Zelina Vega runs into his aid. Why does Zelina Vega run into his aid? And then I say, well, wait a minute. We got The Fiend and Alexa Bliss attacks them. Maybe there's going to be a flip. Maybe Zelina Vega and Andrade are going to take on Alexa Bliss and The Fiend, which would make sense. But then Zelina Vega's drafted to SmackDown, where she can't take on the Alexa Bliss and The Fiend. Oh, my God. Then let's add to the mix that Jeff Hardy got confused and said, I'm challenging everybody to a three-way tag team match. A three-way tag match. A three-way tag match? What the hell's a three-way tag match? There's only three of you. There's no tag to it, Jeff. It's just a mess. It's just a mess. Let me go to the phones, and we're just going to talk in general about this show, Mike. I'm not going through individual matches because, to be honest with you, this whole thing was right back to being, it was like they just continued Friday night right into another disaster.
Right. It was bullshit, you know? I mean, and that's very good bullshit either, you know? And that's the thing. I mean, you look at it, and, I mean, yeah. The whole lot of things. She's been put through the table 3 weeks in a row only to win that championship match. Illogical. It doesn't make sense. Now, granted, you know, you might say, well, her husband said something bad about the WWE, so that's why she's been punished, because a guy who no longer works for him said something bad about you. Okay, that's illogical, you know. The whole thing with Andrade, he's going to SmackDown, or possibly going to SmackDown, or whatever, and his wife, his fiance, girlfriend, stayed on Raw. That's illogical, okay? I mean, the whole thing it's bullshit and it's illogical bullshit. I mean, I'm willing to put up with bullshit as long as it's logical. You know, it's bullshit, but it's logical. You understand where they're going with it. This, you don't get it. You don't get where they're going with it. You don't. There is no. There doesn't seem to be any end result in it. You know.
It's exactly the opposite. There, again, if you're going to have Zelina Vega and Andrade attacked by Alexa Bliss and The Fiend, then my first reaction was maybe we're going to get a mixed tag team match out of this. Instead, they draft Zelina Vega to SmackDown while The Fiend and Alexa Bliss are on Raw. So we get nothing out of that. I guess we get nothing out of that. This was all set up to just give us a moment with The Fiend and Alexa Bliss instead of forward-looking to, well, maybe we can get a match out of this. No. Not that it would have mattered, because if you were going to get a match out of it, then I would presume Andretti would have had to win that match. No, because if he can't beat Angel Garza, he sure as hell ain't beating The Fiend. So there you go. And this is what I mean about the WWE booking for just one night. They don't book things for a lengthy period of time. They don't say, well, what are we doing a month down the road? They're just like, what do we do tonight? What is it that's going to happen tonight? And who cares about next week except for the matches at the pay-per-view? We're not building anything up. That's the problem with them. They don't build anything up. So what did we get last night? Okay, we got a couple of good matches. The only thing we got that would indicate to me that the WWE is even remotely interested in continuity is that Elias attacks Jeff Hardy and then later on says, well, I mean, he hit me with a car. What the hell did you think I was going to do? He hit me with a car. He put me out for months on end. And I don't want to hear that it's not him. I know who hit me. So I don't know where that's going. That can go in a couple of different directions. It's very clear that it wasn't Jeff Hardy who hit him. But they never really finished it off. They said it was Sheamus, but they didn't. Sheamus denied it, right? So I don't know whether Elias is going to figure out that it wasn't Jeff Hardy after a short feud, and then he's going to flip face again and go after the guy who really did it. I don't know whether they're just going to drop this like a hot potato and just have him say, no, it was you. I know it was you. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I know this isn't a particularly great way to reintroduce Elias. That's all I got to say about that. There are better ways to reintroduce Elias than this. So here we go with the same thing where, okay, Kevin Owens is feuding with Aleister Black. And guess what? When Kevin Owens is picked, I said, thank God. The Aleister Black feud is over now. We can maybe look forward to something else from Kevin Owens and something else to Aleister Black. Oh, no. Let's draft Aleister Black over there, too. But let's just not draft him until after we draft Titus O'Neil. Because that makes sense. And let's draft Sami Zayn. If you're Raw or SmackDown, I don't care who you are. You don't want the Intercontinental Champion? That's not going to be one of your top four or five picks? Three or four picks? I mean, that would be a round one pick. I would think that's your champion. One of your champions. Nah, the hell with it. I could see if it's R-Truth. I understand the 24-7, who cares? It's the Intercontinental Championship. Todd, the order in which they were picked made absolutely zero sense. Absolute zero sense.
Oh, you're absolute right there, like you said, about some of these picks. You know, like you said, with the championships, the people who's holding the titles should not be in the draft in the first place. The one thing I didn't like, what Adam Pearce told the New Day and the Street Profits, swap belts. Swap belts. If I was the writers, I'll say to the Street Profits, you're going to wrestle a Raw tag team and drop the tag belts. And have,
I mean, even if you want to, I understand that they're on Raw now, so they can't have the SmackDown tag team belts. But then that should be automatic. That shouldn't be something you need to convince them to do. We're just going to have a belt swapping. It's just like, well, you can't be the SmackDown tag team champions. You're on Raw. And the Street Profits have just been drafted to SmackDown, so, and they're still champions, so we're just going to swap it out. That's all. You don't have to have a ceremony about it. Just swap it out. But the only reason they did that is because they wanted Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode to interrupt that and say, we didn't get our fair share. And then the rocket scientists who write this crap. Now, we know they're probably not winning anyway, but God, give us a little bit of a hope that they might, or a little bit of a swerve that they might. The rocket scientists who write this then draft them to SmackDown before they have their Raw tag team title match. So we already know that Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler are not winning, because if they were to win, then again, they would have the Raw tag team belts on SmackDown. Wow. All I got to say is wow. And by the way, I think you're hurting the Fiend character. That's another thing. Some people mentioned it to me, and they said, do you think the Fiend character is getting hurt by this Alexa Bliss thing? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. At first, I thought it was kind of cool, because I thought what was going to happen is they were going to have this storyline by which the Fiend can sort of hypnotize or memorize people and mesmerize people and have them under his power, but not really consider them like his friends or his teammates, but more like minions. They'll go out and do my bidding. But no, they're doing this Harley Quinn Joker thing. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing with Alexa Bliss and the Fiend. And yes, it's going to hurt the Fiend. It absolutely is going to hurt the Fiend. Now, interestingly enough, the very first people they attacked after being drafted onto Raw are heels. I guess they're heels. It's hard to tell whether they're a heel or not, because Andrade fought Angel Garza. They're both heels. And Zelina Vega was always a heel. So I don't know. I don't know. WWE don't know either. Trust me, they don't know. I mean, the draft was a joke. Both nights of the draft was a total joke. But this made it even worse, because at least you could say to yourself, well, they'll correct it maybe a little bit on Raw. No. No, they're not going to. Same old song and dance. Same nonsense. It's just unbelievable. You had all this time to pick your spots with the draft. And this would have been the time to say, well, a certain feud is getting stale. Let's end it. Or this could be an interesting feud. Let's set it up. No, you did nothing with it. You got nothing from the draft. You got nothing from it. Oh, it looks like Braun Strowman will be continuing his feud with Keith Lee. Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Like, we didn't know that when you had them fight and it came out that way, that we were going to get more than one match. And, of course, we wouldn't be able to do that, would we, if Braun Strowman was exclusive to SmackDown? Except that he was already on Raw 2 weeks in a row before, oh, miraculously, he was drafted to Raw. Well, gee, that's interesting, since he's been there for 2 straight weeks. It just defies logic. It's lazy. Than being lazy, it's uncaring. It's just like, we don't care. We're going to feed you swill, and you're going to enjoy it. And more, this is the promoting attitude of professional wrestling, is that to shut up and enjoy. Shut up and enjoy. You have no right to criticize. Shut up and enjoy. You're the guys who are peeking through the fence at the softball game that we didn't invite you to. You can peek through the fence and watch us, but you don't dare criticize us. No, we're the fans. We're the ones who are keeping this company in business. We have absolutely a right to criticize you. I don't know where this attitude comes from. AEW even did it. There's a couple of AEW wrestlers who tweeted, "Just could you guys just, you know, enjoy the product for what it is and stop criticizing everything we do?" No! Well, we got a couple of more things to cover here. So before we go back to Raw and some of its ridiculousness, there was a controversy about Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman tweeted a picture of himself because he was proud, I guess, of the fact that he was getting abs. Now, if you remember, when Braun Strowman first came in, he was a huge monster of a guy, but he certainly wasn't what you would call. He was more like a power lifter body. He wasn't a bodybuilder body. He was like a power lifter body. You know, he's heavy, heavy set, bulky, little extra around the midsection, power type guy. Now he's like trim, you know. So he's pretty proud of himself. So he's posted a picture saying the abs are coming out, whatever. However, on the back of the picture, because he took it in his bathroom, there's a hypodermic needle. So fans called him out and said, "What's a hypodermic needle doing in the back of your picture?" So he instantly takes the picture down and then basically says, you know, some people have trouble taking vitamin B shots and things, taking supplements, so we take them intravenously because it's just easier or whatever. Look, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining, okay? I may have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. And maybe he does take vitamin B shots intravenously, but if you think Braun Strowman ain't taking something more than vitamin B shots, then you really need to rethink what professional wrestling's about. He got caught red-handed. Does it matter? I don't know if it matters. At the end of the day, if he takes it to look better, it's not like it gives him a performance edge because wrestling's predetermined. I could bulk myself up on steroids until I look like that cartoon Bugs Bunny wrestler. And if they tell me I'm losing to James Ellsworth, then I'm losing to James Ellsworth. It's not like it really gives me a performance advantage. It's not like I'm cheating because I'm stronger now than my opponent. It doesn't matter in wrestling. So it's strictly cosmetic in professional wrestling. So I don't know if it matters. The WWE certainly supposedly has drug testing. So I guess it matters to them. But again, you're talking about the WWE. Do you honestly think they don't know? Do you honestly think people pass Braun Strowman in the hallway or some of these other people and say, must not be eating many carbs? Come on. Come on. So that's point number one. Braun Strowman takes a picture and forgets that he has his hypodermic needle laying on his sink. Two is Lars Sullivan's back in trouble. Now, for the people who don't know, Lars Sullivan got himself in a peck of trouble because before he was really anything big in NXT, when he was in the bodybuilding circuit, he was on a bodybuilding website and he made some extremely racial comments, some homophobic comments, and got himself in a lot of trouble. Didn't do it accidentally or knuckleheaded, you know. It's not like, you know, a knucklehead who says something and is, "Oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. That was dumb." Because when they banned his account, he created another account and basically said the same things. So he fully knows what he said. Ironically, all of his homophobic tweets comes back to haunt him because apparently he was in a homosexual pornography movie when he was young. So I don't know. I don't know what that's all about. But the latest one is this. Apparently, they have a yoga instructor that works with WWE athletes for stretching and, you know, limberness and making sure you don't get injured and all that crap. It's a female. And I guess she posted a shot of her legs. And Lars Sullivan had written that she has beautiful legs. She kind of let that slide. He then kind of asked for pictures of her backside. And she said, "Look, I'm going to refund your money because I'm a married woman. You crossed the line. For a year, we've been cool about this, and I've given you a couple of warnings, but this is crossing the line. So look, is Laura Sullivan a knucklehead? Yes. Yes, he is. But I want everyone to understand something. I'm not defending him in any way, shape, or form. I'd probably hate the guy's guts. I don't like racists. I don't like homophobes. And I don't like people who you know, glom on every single girl they come across either. He sounds like a jerk. However, you don't have a right to say because you're a jerk, you can't work. No one should hire you, so you should do what? Go on welfare where we pay for you? Does that make sense to you? Nobody hire Laura Sullivan. He should not be able to be employed by anyone because of his beliefs and because he's a jerk. Okay, and guess who ends up paying for his welfare? You, dummy. You have a right to be an idiot in this country. She handled it perfectly. She said, I'm refunding your money and I don't want anything to do with you anymore because you crossed the line. Good for her. That's how you do it. See, folks, you know what that's called? It's called being an adult. She didn't run to the WWE and say, I want to be a part of the Me Too movement. I was sexually harassed by your wrestler. I demand he be fired. I demand $150 million dollars because I'm emotionally distraught now. She didn't do that. If there's any lesson to be learned, it's from this woman. Who's obviously, when I say mature, I don't mean she's old. I just mean maturity. She's a mature woman. And she said, hey, Lars, you crossed the line. I've warned you a couple times. You crossed it again. I don't want nothing to do with you. Bye. That's exactly how it should be handled. That's exactly how you should handle it. Now, if the wrestlers don't like Lars Sullivan, they got a right not to like him. But they got themselves a problem, don't they? Because if Vince McMahon does like him, guess what? And we saw him again. Wipe out Miz and Morrison, who are obviously going to do just as well on Raw as they did on SmackDown. We see that, right? But Lars Sullivan's drafted to SmackDown. Not sure why. Because really, Lars Sullivan, Mike, in my opinion, that he has Raw written all over him. I mean, SmackDown is more of a wrestling-based show. I would have thought Lars Sullivan would have fit more into Raw.
Yeah, I thought he would have fit more into Raw as well. And look, here's something, a couple of other things to think about. One, they picked another injured wrestler, right? They picked Charlotte Flair, right? She's injured, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's number one. And look, other than the Intercontinental Belt, whatever, and the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, what other championships are on SmackDown? Oh, yeah, Bayley. What? Bayley's still there.
Bayley's. Yeah.
Wouldn't you want, you know, a major championship on your show? I mean, this draft does not make, would not, if I'm Fox, you know, I'm not happy.
Yeah, Fox got the shitty end of the stick. But the thing that cracks me up is you're Raw and you have first pick on Monday night. And there in the picks are an Intercontinental Champion, Team Champions, and a Women's Champion. And you pick the Fiend. You pick the Fiend over all those champions. Whereas SmackDown instantly picks their women's champion, that makes sense, but you could have gotten it away from them. That's how you know it's so rigged it's ridiculous. That's how you know it doesn't make any sense, and that's why the champion shouldn't be in it, because you already know they're going to end up equal, exactly what happened, right? They all ended up with equal championships. So there you go. I mean, at least the WWE could have made it interesting and said, well, how are we going to work this out where both the Street Profits and the New Day are on Raw as the champions? We can only have one champion. We can't have two tag team champions. And the Street Profits were drafted to stay on Raw. Well, SmackDown's not going to have champions right now. And the New Day is going to fight the Street Profits for sole control of the WWE Championship belt. And maybe later on we'll make it a floating belt or whatever. But right now it looks like Raw is the show for the tag team champions. That would make sense and that would be shocking where you say, wow, SmackDown has no tag team. No tag team belts. The draft really seems to be real because who would do that? You know what I mean? You'd have the chance to do good storylines that way. But when you say, oh, the New Day's drafted to Raw, then you knew that the Street Profits were drafted to SmackDown. You already knew it. And that's why it stinks. There was no surprise where you say, oh, man, unbelievable. Both the Intercontinental and the United States Championships now on one brand. I mean, you could have done that. It wouldn't have been hard to do that. The reason they couldn't do that, ladies and gentlemen, is because USA and Fox got their noses together and said, we want equal whatever. And so there's no reason to have the draft. And if you are going to have the draft, then you say we are excluding the champions. There's no reason to put the champions in the draft. No one's going to draft their champion away. So those are out. Then we would have had an interesting draft. But if you're Sami Zayn, and you're the Intercontinental Champion, and you're picked fourth round, what does that really say? Forget that the draft is rigged. Forget that this whole thing was, you know, weeks ahead of time they knew who was going where. What does that say to you about the WWE and their interest in A, the Intercontinental belt, and B, you as a performer? If you're Aleister Black, and you're picked after Titus O'Neil, who hasn't been seen on television for I don't know how long. What does that say about you? If you're Andretti and you're not picked at all, you're not picked at all. What does that say about you? And last night I saw something, I don't know if you guys picked up on it, but last night I saw something that I thought was particularly interesting. And that was during the Angel Garza-Andrade match. And while Angel Garza won the match, slid out of the ring and did his typical sort of Eddie Guerrero-ish type, you know, smiling and preening, he looked upset. He looked like he was faking it. And he was faking it because he realized, I'm in the ring with Andretti, and we could have had a 20-minute match that would have lit this crap up. And instead, this is what we're relegated to. You could see it. You could see it in Andretti, too. And then we understand why Andretti, after being through a match, and I guess supposedly hurt, would fall victim to the Fiend. But why in the world would Zelina Vega not be able to wiggle out of a Sister Abigail when no one touched her? She was fighting Asuka a few weeks ago, and just because she's grabbed by Alexa Bliss and held there for 30 seconds, she can't wiggle out of that? Why can't she wiggle out of that? She hasn't been through a match. She hasn't been touched. She hasn't been hit in any way, Mike. So, again, that even doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense either, and that's the thing. And look, it puts in the stark reality what some of the comments that both Miro and Chris Jericho have said about the WWE, that they don't know what they're doing, they don't know how to book, they don't know. I mean, you know all the comments that those two guys have said about the WWE. And it puts credence to each and every one of those comments that both of those two guys have said. You know?
Yeah. It really does, Mike. It really does. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. I actually looked forward to this draft Because what I thought was going to happen is that the WWE had said, look, we've grown stale. Our feuds have grown stale. Our workers in various brands have grown stale. And this draft is going to be our way of ending those feuds, shaking up the stale wrestlers, putting guys who have overstayed their welcome on one brand on another, and vice versa, and getting some new fresh feuds and new fresh blood. And instead, you did just exactly the opposite. You drafted Seth Rollins, Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, and Buddy Murphy all to the same brand so they could just continue everything that they were doing over there. Fiend and Alexa Bliss over together. Kevin Owens and Aleister Black back to SmackDown together. You didn't break up feuds. You didn't change things or make things fresh. You just transferred shows. It's almost like you said Raw is SmackDown and SmackDown is now Raw. So? And what's different about that? So you changed the name of the show. It's the same show. Just a different name. You had the opportunity. A huge opportunity of their rut. You know, I'm watching Seth Rollins, and I'm saying to myself, I miss this. I actually miss this. I'm watching Seth Rollins fight Jeff Hardy and AJ Styles, and I'm saying, I could buy into this. I'm sick of him fighting Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio, but guess what? He's going to keep right on doing it. Jeff Hardy comes over, and you say, okay, Jeff Hardy's on Raw. That's going to, you know, maybe he's grown stale on SmackDown. Maybe they're going to give him a fresh start. No, he loses. And the only person, really, that they put over a little bit is Seth Rollins. They didn't let him lose on his way out. Everybody else that was going to leave, you're losing on the way out. Yeah, we get it. And, of course, the female battle royal thing, they knew that was garbage. That's why they had to have Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton close the show with the big brawl that I'm also getting sick of seeing. Would have been a hell of a lot better if you didn't draft your champions. Then we could have seen some better picks. We could have seen people pick that didn't get picked. There are people whose names weren't even on the list. Do you remember the old WWE draft where every single person was on the list and they were sitting in a room? I actually liked that, where they all sit in like an auditorium, and when they were picked, they were like, oh, okay, I'm picked. I thought that was so much better than just, well, we're having a real card of wrestling, and in between, Stephanie will pop out. I got to tell you something about Stephanie McMahon, too. From all indications of everyone I have ever heard talk about her, and a few people I know who actually had interactions with her, they said she is the nicest, sweetest, down-to-earth person they've ever met. Well, I got news. She's annoying as hell on television. Just annoying as hell. They picked Daniel Bryan. When was the last time we saw Daniel Bryan? She's just annoying. Remember when they said, we're not going to have any more authority figures? Well, what's this Adam whatever friggin' name is? Pierce. He's not a general manager? Well, what the hell is he then? He's the one who insisted that they switch tag team belts and things. He's not an authority figure of any kind? This is ridiculous. I'm looking at SmackDown now, and I'm saying, if it wasn't for... because SmackDown's lost the Fiend now, by the way. If it wasn't for Roman Reigns and his feud with the Usos, which is going to be over pretty soon, what is there to watch over there? AJ Styles is gone. The Fiend is gone. Alexa Bliss is gone. You lost a lot of people that were interesting people. I don't know, man. You lost the New Day, too. I mean, now you just got the Street Profits. I guess they're interchangeable. I don't know. I just think that you've harmed both shows. I look at this roster now and I'm saying, I know you got Seth Rollins, but Seth Rollins is going to continue with the Mysterios, which is a good story. But here's the thing. It's got to go somewhere. I don't want to see Seth Rollins fighting Dominic Mysterio for the rest of my natural life. It's okay if the storyline still involves them, but let him fight other people. Can he do that? Can he go on with his career, in other words? Wouldn't you, as Seth Rollins, say, I still hate the Mysterio family, and I'm still going to get under their skin every time I possibly can, but I'm going on with my career. I got to fight this guy and that guy and work my way toward a title shot or whatever, and if I come across them, yeah, I'm still going to be screwing with them, but I've also got my life to live. You don't say my whole career is dedicated to destroying the Mysterio family. That's dumb. And fans get bored with it. Now, you got this whole element with Leah Mysterio and Buddy Murphy. Fine. You want to play that out? Fine. But let Seth Rollins fight some other people too, okay, in the process. Can we do that? Let Buddy Murphy fight some other people in the process. Can we do that? Same way with Dominic Mysterio. Let him fight some other people. Go on with your career and still keep the feud going. It doesn't end the feud just because you fought somebody else, Mike. That's the thing that aggravates me.
Right. And think about this. You know, there was back in the early 80s, and I know a lot of people, a lot of younger fans aren't up in this, but back in the early 80s, I believe in Georgia, there was a feud between Buzz Sawyer and Tommy Rich. And that feud went on for a couple years. And it was a major feud. But in between their matches, they had many feuds with other people. Now, that match kind of shortened those guys' careers because, you know, they did dog collar matches, cage matches. I mean, it was a big deal back then. But between those things, those two guys had many feuds with other people. Tommy Rich won a couple championships here and there with other people. And other than that, that's what we want to see. And that's the point what you're talking about with Rey Mysterio. You know, we know they want Dominic to be something big. How can he be something big when he's constantly fighting, Seth Rollins?
Yeah, see, that's a really good point, Mike. At some stage, you're hurting Dominic Mysterio by just keeping him in this feud forever. He's gonna have to branch out a little bit. It's like, you know, the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox have a huge rivalry, but they don't just play each other all season long. You've got to go ahead and let these guys have other matches as well. Seth Rollins looked so much better, Todd, in the match last night because he wasn't fighting the same old people doing the same old thing. I saw Seth Rollins last night do things I haven't seen him do in months. And I'm saying, see, he's in there with, you know, different competition, so it brings different things out in them. And this is what fans want to see.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said about Seth Rollins. They're letting him do they switch it up a little bit with him feud of different people, not just the Mysterio family. Last night he had a three-way match with Styles and Hardy, and he had Elias came in during the match, hit Hardy in the head with the guitar. It's like a couple different feuds in that match. And
I guess Jeff Hardy's still waiting to make the tag, by the way. He thought there was a tag team match, apparently. Here's my advice to the WWE. If you're going to start the feud between Elias and Jeff Hardy, make the feud a really, really, really blood feud with Jeff Hardy saying, I understand why Elias hates me, but I didn't do it. And Elias saying, bull, I know who hit me with a car. I'm not a moron. I know who hit me. And it was you. That way the fans can say, Elias isn't really a bad guy. I'd be mad too if he really thought that Jeff Hardy hit him with a car. Of course he's upset with Jeff Hardy. So then you could play it either way. Either Jeff Hardy's a damn liar, and it really was him, and you've got a heel Jeff Hardy, or Elias comes to find out I was wrong, and you flip Elias, and he feuds with whoever it happens to be that was, because both Sheamus and now Sami Zayn is going to be on Raw, so whichever one they want it to be. I don't even remember, Mike, if they even gave a conclusion to this, did they? I guess they wanted to indicate it was Sheamus.
I guess so. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, and we really couldn't tell who was driving the car. I mean, yeah, he got hit by the car, but how could he tell? Because the windshield was sort of tinted, sort of not visible, and the lighting inside the car was such that, well, you really couldn't tell who was inside the car. All right, so it's like, how does a guy outside of the car who can't really, it happens like that. It happens in the blink of an eye. You know, you get hit with a car, it happens in the blink of an eye. Okay, and you're gonna tell me you're just who's inside the car, who's driving the car, when you're worried about, do I have broken ribs? Do I have ruptured spleen, you know, all this stuff, all this other stuff, and you're going to be able to see who's driving the car?
Well, I think what he's going to say is, I saw who got out of the car. As I was laying there, the guy jumped out of the car, and I seen him run away, and I see that he, you know, he had like this, because you got to remember that Jeff Hardy colors his hair all colors. Somebody said, well, it was a guy with red hair, which has to be either Sheamus or Sami Zayn, because there ain't nobody else with red hair. But I don't know, did they ever, Todd, really come up with who did it, or did they just indicate it was Sheamus, even though he said he didn't?
Like you said, they didn't come up who actually hit Elias with the car. I remember back in late 1999, when Stone Cold Steve Austin came back almost a year later, he went looking for the person who ran him over with the car. Like his own little investigation.
Right. So, I mean, I'm okay with this Elias thing, but I'm only okay with it if Jeff Hardy comes out and says, I'm not even really mad at Elias, because I know he thinks I hit him with a car, but I didn't. And if we're going to have that kind of a storyline, okay. Regardless of which way it ends up, whether he did or he didn't, you could have something good out of that. But aside from that, what do we got to look forward to? Lana versus Asuka? I have a newsflash for you. Asuka is one of the best women's wrestlers on the planet right now. She's not going to pull a great match out of Lana. Because if you watched Lana training with Natty on YouTube, you could see Lana is having trouble. Lana was in tears during her training session with Natty, saying, I'm not sure I can cut this. And I'm not sure she can either at this point. She's athletic and all, but she's not getting the timing. She's having a real problem with timing. Even in the match, you know, she had last night, you could see there was timing issues, and just she's gonna have to train a whole lot harder. And now she's really in over her head with Asuka, and I just don't know where this is gonna go. It doesn't sound like a great feud. It doesn't even sound like a great match. So I don't know where you're going with that. I don't know. I look at the landscape of both Raw and SmackDown, and other than the Usos feud with Roman Reigns, I don't see anything on the horizon that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see this. Nothing's really capturing my attention. Okay, Elias and Jeff Hardy's going to have a feud. Who's AJ going to feud with? Who's AJ Styles' feud on Raw? Where's that going? Crickets, because there isn't anybody. I guess Braun Strowman's going to feud with Keith Lee. Okay, that could be interesting. But all you've really done is switch brands of feuds. You may as well say I'm switching storylines to this brand instead of wrestlers, and that's where you made your mistake. That's where you made your mistake. It would have been so interesting if Buddy Murphy stayed on Raw and Ray and Dominic went to SmackDown and Aaliyah stayed on Raw. or vice versa, whatever you wanted to do, because it would have been, there would have been this cross thing where you say, I sort of have to watch both shows now if I want to get the full Rey Mysterio or the whole Mysterio versus Seth Rollins and the Buddy Murphy thing. I kind of got to watch both shows. That's not necessarily a bad thing, Mike. I mean, because if you like that angle, you say, well, you know, something could happen on SmackDown. I don't normally watch SmackDown, but now that there's a couple of them on there, they're going to continue that angle on SmackDown as well as Raw, so I have to watch both shows in order to get the full package.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, look, I can understand if your goal, you know, the whole brand thing, you know, what they did smacks of them saying, well, this whole brand thing isn't working out, so we're going to draft out titles on to each of the onto Raw, whatever. I could see that. I could almost put up with all the rest of the bullshit if that was their end goal, was to say, okay, this brand thing isn't working. We're going to combine everything again and go from there. Okay, I get that. I would have gotten that, but that's not what they said here. You know?
No, I would have gotten it even if they said, look, we're going to keep the belts where they are, but we're going to draft people who really haven't had their potential. For instance, Ricochet. Why can't Ricochet go to SmackDown where we can forget all the nonsense on Raw and maybe he'd do better? You know, we need things like that. You got Apollo Crews over there, obviously. So that's probably what you're going to try to do with him, but I don't know. At this stage of the game, I just look at this as two wasted shows. You made a big deal about this draft, and it really was much ado about nothing, as Shakespeare said. It was nothing really came of it. Nothing at all really came of it. By the way, there is a rumor going around that Eva Marie is supposed to be back in WWE. Probably one of the worst wrestlers on the planet. If Eva Marie and Lana have a match, I'm actually going to watch it because this could be a train wreck. And I'm not trying to disparage Lana. I know she's trying hard, but you know, at some point, man, you either can or you can't. Not everybody can. And she's got a lot more talents than just the ring. I mean, she's very good on the microphone. She's certainly willing to do any angle you give her. But maybe she's just not cut out for in the ring. I thought she was at first because she seemed athletic, but it's been a year on, and I don't see a ton of improvement. Anyway, was this show worse than SmackDown? No, it wasn't worse than SmackDown because you had that great three-way match, and at least you had a branch on a tree with Jeff Hardy and Elias, and I guess, you know, we see Angel Garza as someone that Vince is going to put over, so I guess there's some light at the end of the tunnel, but it's still a poor show in my eyes. I gave SmackDown a C-. I'm just going to give this a flat C, Mike.
You know what? I'm going to switch my grade up, and I'm going to give Raw what you gave SmackDown. I'm going to give it a C-.
Yeah, it's neither one was good. Neither one was good. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to give it a C- as well.
Yeah, draft was a waste of time, folks. If you expected anything earth-shattering and shocking and whatever, you got nothing. Okay, that was the old bait and switch. There's going to be a draft. Don't worry, folks. Things are changing here. The landscape of WWE is changing. It's going to be totally different past this date. Yeah. Same old song and dance. Same old song and dance, folks. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.